thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you have done. Oh, I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you have done.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, tonight, it's good we're going to have Brother Andre Finty come and preach to us. Amen. You know, if I was trying to think of a scripture that kind of describes Brother Andre, and I was thinking, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And you got to find yourself in the Word. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, Brother Joy.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time on a Wednesday night.
Hallelujah.
Would you stand with me for the reading of the word? I'm going to start in Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. That's Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. Have it, say amen.
Amen.
But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's Numbers 14:21. And as my second verse is Habakkuk. My Hebrew is not so good. It's Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 14. It says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. My topic for tonight is experiencing God's glory. Would you pray with me? Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity, O Lord Jesus, to hear your word, to read your word. But more than that, Lord, we ask you to come tonight and speak to our heart. For everyone within the sound of our voice, O Lord, that we may know your glory, seek your glory, and experience your glory. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Experiencing God's glory. In my opening scripture, it talked about how the Numbers talks about how the earth shall be filled with God's glory. Can you imagine that? Just all the whole earth filled with the glory of God. Reminds me of that song, Surrounded by Your Glory. What will my heart feel? And the earth shall be filled with glory as the waters cover the sea. That's almost everywhere. That's almost everywhere. That's a good comparison. That's, wow. His glory is going to be filled whether we go along with it or not. So tonight what I want to do is talk about the experience of God's glory, how we should seek his glory, how his glory is just all around us. And it's my goal to maybe stir you up to seek his glory, to be aware of his glory, the glory of God, vice the glory of men. The glory of God is a very, very huge, huge subject in the Bible. I had to break it up into sections, and this is just one of the sections. Maybe I'll come back and do the other ones, but it's such a large topic because the whole Bible is about God's glory, giving glory to God. So I want to, one, give some examples of God's glory. Two, our glorious future, the hope, our hope in glory. Three, experience God's glory. And four, seeking God's glory. As I stated before, the Bible is a story of God's glory. Glory is a word used in the Bible to describe God's eternal splendor, his majesty, and also his presence. God created people in his image to express his glory, to share his glory. And he blessed us with gifts, which it gives us the ability to glorify him with our lives. Amen. Isaiah 43:7 in the New King James Version, for clarity, he says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in them." Amen. To his glory, for his glory. Some Old Testament, these next few scriptures are going to be some Old Testament examples of his glory. Exodus 24:17. "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." They saw the glory of God. They actually witnessed that. And in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, in the New King James Version, "And he said, please show me your glory." It's talking about Moses. Moses had just once again interceded for the children of Israel. He had made several appeals to God on behalf of the children of Israel. And this one time he asked, "Lord, show me your glory." Amen. I was, wow. To be that close to God, to ask him that, you know, that was amazing. There's an account in the Bible where he had been with God up on a mountain for so long that his face shone. He came down the mountain, his face shone, and he put a veil over because the people were afraid of him. But the glory is, you know, they say it kind of rubbed off on him, you know, but that would be amazing. That's amazing. And another one is Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 and 35 in the New King James Version. It says, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord, filled the tabernacle." Wow. His glory was just so great in that place. His presence, his splendor, his majesty, so great in that place. Moses couldn't get in. But in fact, he wanted to. At least he wanted to. And the last one is Leviticus chapter 9, verses 22 to 24. "Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And all the people saw it. And they shouted and fell on their faces." Hallelujah. They worshiped him. The glory of God His presence was so there, so prevalent to them, and they witnessed that, and they experienced his glory, and their response was to shout and worship him. It sound familiar to anybody? Anybody ever been to a service like that? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We experience God's glory because we were called into his glory. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According to his divine power, hath he given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, hallelujah, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He called us into his glory. That's one way we know we experience his glory. Another way we experience his glory is through praise and worship. Sing unto the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 to 25, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Also is to be feared above all gods. Yes, they experienced the glory of God in the Old Testament. And when Jesus came, hallelujah, when God came in the flesh, the form is Jesus. It says in the Gospel of John that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth, and they beheld his glory. But his glory was beheld before then, if you remember. Remember when he was born in the manger. They came and worshiped him. I think of that Christmas song, "Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him." You know, one of the verses actually says, "The glory of God now in flesh appearing. Oh, come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord." Let us adore him. Amen. And it's Psalm 63, 2 and 3. "So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. I look for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." We praise him. We praise his name. Romans 5, 2. "Through him we have access by faith into this grace which we stand. And we rejoice in the glory. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And then Romans 8:18, "For I consider that this," in the New King James Version, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." We have a hope in the glory. Where our glory is our glorious future and our hope in him. Colossians 1:7, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think of my son Benjamin's testimony when he went to youth conference in Indiana. He told me that they went on a weekend and came back on a Sunday, and he was one of the first ones to get up here and testify. And he talked about how 30,000 youths were singing and praising and giving glory to God. Can you imagine that in a place, 30,000 people? We're going to be doing that in heaven, brothers and sisters. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." It's just a glimpse of that. It is that hope that keeps us going. It's that hope that gets us past through many of our trials. It's that hope that keeps us, that draws us each and every day. I hope you just never get out of the mindset of we have a hope in him. The hope of his glory. The glory of God gives us hope. The glory of God he has put within us when he gave us the Holy Ghost. And it draws us on. It spurs us on. It motivates us. Experiencing God's glory by being filled with the Holy Ghost and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this marvelous gift, for this precious gift. And in the Gospel of John, John 11:40, the New King James Version, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" This was when he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And they had thought, well, he's dead. He's been dead 4 days. And he reminded them, yes, this death is not unto death, but to his glory. He did a few miracles like that, where he said it was not that a man's mother or father had sinned, that he was born blind, but that the works of God might be made manifest, but the glory of God might be made manifest. And they saw his glory. We also experience God's glory when we diligently seek him. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees over that, because they were always trying to trip him up. Because Jesus said that they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. They gloried in man rather than the glory of God. So he said in John chapter 7, verse 18, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him." Jesus was tough. In some versions, it says, "He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory." But he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true. Seeking him requires some serious soul searching on our part.
Sure.
You ever look for something so hard that you end up cleaning up the whole house? You're looking for something so fervently, you end up moving stuff out of the way, and before you know it, you've cleaned up the whole hospital, and you find it. I'm reminded of Sister Greeley's Bible study, where she compared the Passover to the Lord's Supper. And she talked about the removal of the leaven. Removal of the leaven to the glory of God. During the Passover, Jewish people refrained from eating leaven. This tradition comes from God's commandment to Israel in Exodus chapter 12, verses 19 to 20. "For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel." Excuse me. "Whether he is a stranger or a native of the land, you shall not eat, you shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread." As Jewish people prepared for the Passover back then, each family removed all the leaven from the house, as Sister Greeley stated. They scoured and just searched everything to find leaven. Then they took it out and burned it before the Passover, because they wanted their houses to be kosher for the Passover. Paul used this same discussion in the Corinthians to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 68. "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. We cannot compartmentalize and isolate sin in a particular areas of our life. Even small hidden sins will permeate and corrode our entire being, just like leaven will leaven the whole lump. As Paul wrote, the reason we must remove wicked behavior from our lives is that our Messiah will sacrifice, like the Passover, to remove our unrighteousness. The preparation for Passover can remind us to think about our unrighteous behavior that we tolerate in our lives. If we're serious about glorifying God, then we cannot tolerate unrepented sin. And here comes the glory question. I had to ask myself, as a believer, does my life express more of the love of the glory of God that comes from God, or the glory that comes from man? Please bear with me. A lot of these are things that I had that Jesus convicted me of, and that He's dealing with me about. While we live in the flesh, we still battle the desires of the flesh. And one of the greatest battles of our sin nature is the desire to live independently of God and to glory in that independence. It's something that pulls us away, that I'm my own man, or I'm independent, or I'm my own God. Therefore, when we receive praise of man, if it's not immediately brought under subjection to the thought that we deserve nothing but God's wrath, or just to God be the glory. Somebody say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Instead of it leading us to a pride and selfish disposition, it should drive us to our knees. It should drive us to our knees that men seek glory from one another rather than the glory of God. The Bible says we should take every thought captive to obey Christ, and that the very thought that we are more than what we are, that we are more than who he made us to be, is vanity, and we need to bring that into subjection under God. Amen? With Sister Greeley, as I stated before, Sister Greeley compared the Passover to the Lord's Supper. And at the Lord's Supper, Jesus had revealed that he was going to be betrayed. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 to 22, says, "Now when the even was come," it was evening, "he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And they began one of them to say to him, Lord, is it I? Or they began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? It was sad and asking him, Am I the one that's going to betray you? Again, that's that soul searching, that self-inventory, that looking all through the house for the leaven to get rid of it. Because they wanted nothing to get between them and the glory of God. They wanted nothing to get between them and their relationship with him. They wanted nothing to get between them and the covenant that they had with him. The disciples asked one by one, Master, is it I who will betray you? Am I the one who is seeking his own glory? Is there leaven in my kitchen or in my house that I must get rid of? Is there secret sin in my life that I must purge? Am I seeking the glory of God or the glory of man? These are questions I ask myself. Please bear with me, I hope you may ask them too. Am I doing this so that God may be glorified, or am I seeking to glorify myself? To God be the glory. I certainly feel this at times. Although I truly desire to bring glory to Christ, I feel incredibly attractive to having my own self-esteem and my ego stroked, being complimented by those around me. Would you pray with me about that? Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for your love, your grace, and your glory, oh Lord Jesus, that for bringing me to a place where, Lord, I can give you glory. Lord Jesus, let us all have a heart, oh Lord Jesus, that is willing to just sacrifice our me and go and glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, for it is your love. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me for who I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless my family. Bless my church family, oh Lord, that we shine as light, your light before you and seek your righteousness, Jesus. To you be all the glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Am I seeking the glory of God, or am I waiting for a chance to get even? Am I seeking the glory of God, or do I have a reservation just in case things don't work out? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For ye were bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen? Am I seeking the glory of God or protecting my own territory? That's a tough one. That is a tough one. You might not know this, but at one time I used to think those Job Corps students were mine. And God is in control of their life. God is playing their life, and whoa. It was an awakening, but it's one that I was thankful for. God is taking control of them. We have a pastor in Rhode Island, Pastor John Owens, and they visited his church, and it was just something to see a young person in that age group excited about a service. They're excited about being in the presence of God. That they were just testifying all over Job Corps the next day. God is doing something in their lives. God touched them. Glory to God. Somebody say, to God be the glory. Thanks. I need to hear that. Thank you. Am I seeking the glory of God, or am I trying to fit in with the crowd? I ask myself, am I seeking the glory of God, or am I pleasure seeking? Am I waiting on the next episode of whatever? Am I in the Word, or am I, in other words, am I entertaining myself and my guests? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, I'm sure you all have heard it. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Am I seeking the glory of God, or am I beating myself up because of my past? David said, "Clear me, O Lord, of any hidden faults." Am I seeking his glory, or am I living in fear of being found out? David said, "If I had harbored iniquity in my heart, thou wouldst hear me." Am I seeking his glory, or am I just going to church? Is my worship at home the same as it is at church? My worship on my job, when everywhere I go and everything where I do, am I seeking his glory? Should God be glorified in everywhere? But please come to church. We keep coming to church. Yeah. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Am I seeking his glory, or am I waiting on an apology? An apology that just may never come. Someone called me up today on the way here. "Brother, I need you to, could you pray for me? Someone insulted me." He visited a church, and someone insulted him in a church, and he just wanted peace about it. And because He knew that an apology wasn't coming. Right? That person probably never would have apologized to him. But it says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9 in the New King James Version, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. When we forgive one another, we are, again, seeking God's glory, experiencing God's love, experiencing God's glory. Amen? Are you seeking the glory of God or the glory of men? All of us at one time or another have experienced the praise or glory of man, but you can't let it go to your head or your heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance. For this reason, we know people or I've seen people who can talk as if they know God and maybe submit to his authority every now and then, but yet their lives are still marked with pride and selfish gain and even foolishness. Again, it should drive us to our knees. Drive us to our knees and pray for this lost world that think that there's something more glorious than God. Pray for them. Pray for them. And pray for ourselves. Stay in prayer. Because the very act of prayer is an act of humility. The very act of prayer is a prayer of seeking his glory. Amen? Pray constantly. Am I seeking the glory of God or am I waiting to be appreciated by others? Brothers and sisters, sometimes the work we do is going to go thankless. Sometimes what you do, nobody will maybe ever see. Jesus told his disciples, let your giving be done in secret, that your heavenly Father who sees you in secret may reward you. We may not get a thank you. We may not get that saying people say a lot now, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. That may not happen. We still seek the glory of God. Amen. Our reward is great in heaven. It's going to be amazing. It's worth it. Do what you do to the glory of God and nothing else, please. Strongholds cannot be broken if we don't first recognize them. If you're seeking something other than God's glory, that is a hold. That is a stronghold on your life. Please recognize it. You know, we all are at different stages in our faith and growing at different rates. We need to ask ourselves some of these questions. These are the questions that God put on my heart to ask me, to ask myself. Amen? I hate to admit where I am seeking my own glory over God's, but I'm thankful for his conviction and that I'm fully forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen. We have been forgiven. I can also be confident in the work that he's started in my life and that he will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. At this time, I'm going to go through 12 markers that you have that you are seeking God's glory. I know I just went over a bunch of ways that we don't seek God's glory or alternatives or things that you're doing instead of God's glory. But I want to accentuate on the positive tonight and tell you 12 markers, because you probably are seeking God's glory, but I just want to put some words to it so you would know, okay? If you hear one, say amen. I'm going to go 12 of them. One, you find joy in Christ's name being exalted. Even if you receive no attention or praise in the process. Amen? Two, when others praise you, you feel genuinely humbled, undeserving, and overwhelmed by the grace of God in your life. Amen? To God be the glory. Yeah, thank you for saying that, but it's God who gives me strength. It's God who stands me up. It's God who works through me and help me to do this job. Three, you persevere in doing good and find joy in serving Christ, even when it isn't glamorous or goes unappreciated. Amen? Anybody like that? Number four, you find pleasure in exercising the unique gifts that God has given you, no matter the outcome or level of success it brings. On the other hand, you are able to let these gifts go if the Lord chooses to allow it. Five, one of the markers of loving God's glory, You are excited for those who do well and compassionate and gracious towards those who fail. Amen. 6, you do not measure success by the world's terms, but by the truth of God's word. Yes. 7, you're honest about your struggles, failures, and sin, recognizing that you are in the process of sanctification alongside every other Christ follower. 8, you do not feel the need to portray a certain type of life or social media and do not need a certain number of likes, comments, or shares, friends, or followers in order to feel good about yourself. Amen? Amen. I'm talking to a few social media people. God bless you. God, you don't need a certain amount of likes. I like to get a like every now and then. 9, you respect church leadership with the goal of glorifying Christ rather than the need to be seen and heard. 10, you seek to know and to pursue what Christ values more than climbing the ladder of success and seeking what the world values. I'll read that again. You seek to know and pursue what Christ values more than climbing the ladder of success and seeking what the world values. 11, you extend grace and forgiveness to those around you, seeking unity in Christ rather than self-protection and justice. Amen. For our forgiveness glorifies God. When we forgive one another, love one another, it glorifies him. And number 12, you do not feel threatened or intimidated by those who seem to be more spiritually mature than you, but you humbly desire to learn from others, resting on the knowledge that we are all saved by grace and in different places in our faith. Amen? Amen. As we stop fighting our own glory and our own glory and unify in the glorifying of Christ, we become witnesses and testimonies to a lost world who is divided, fighting one another for their own glory. Should I seek his glory and go to this altar call, or should I just stay in my seat? Sometimes we don't know why we want to come up for prayer, or you know, don't feel a need for it. Seek his glory. Seek his glory. We just had a district conference just last year, and the theme was suddenly. And Brother Bishop Otoski talked about how just one service could change your life. Could suddenly transform you. One service could suddenly change something. You can hear something or be encouraged in some way that it just changes your life forever. Suddenly. The glory of the Lord filled the temple so much that Moses could not get in, but at least he wanted to get in. At least he wanted to see the glory of God. And finally, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 to 20 in the New King James Version. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts do condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Amen. Because in this soul searching, in this searching out for the leaven and unrepented sin and in ways that we don't seek God's glory, sometimes it could bring a heavy heart. Oh no, who am I fooling? Oh no, I'm this way. Oh no, I'm fake. Oh no, I'm insincere. But remember, God is greater than our hearts. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you. Turn it back over.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Friday night will be our game night. How many here have been to a family game night? Oh, most of us. There's a little section that hadn't. In case you hadn't been, it can get a little loud, but they have fun. Amen. You'll have a good time if you come. What we do is six to nine. People sometimes come at seven, whatever. They come when they can, right? And there's different, we just go in the fellowship hall and we just set out tables, and different tables will play different games, and sometimes people move around to whatever game you want to play. But it's just a fellowship night, and some people bring chips and some people bring drinks and some people bring other types of snacks. Bring a little snack to share and bring a game that you like. Or if you got nothing, you got no games and no snacks, come on anyway, because there's going to be plenty there for you. God, amen. Love him with me, would you, Lord? I love you. I thank you. In all that you do, God, I pray your will, Lord, be accomplished today. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. Sunday's going to be a great day. 10 o'clock for those that are in the in my class, Elements class. And then those that are brand new, if you haven't been to a pastor's lunch, I invite you to come. But if you have been to a pastor's lunch, it would just be repetitive to keep coming to them. But you're welcome if you'd like. God bless you. You're dismissed.